morning. It's Sunday, April 10th.
And Brittany's birthday.
Which is open to the public. Today, we do that. I know they were Brittany's birthday a minute ago. I think that was supposed to be a secret.
Poor guy. I know.
Lord, we ask for your blessing in our time today. Again, that your spirit would flow, that your truth would flow, Lord, that your love would flow. We need more of your love. We need to have more of your love. We need to love you more. We need to receive more of your love. And that it would spill over, and that we would love each other as we love you. There would be a flowing of all that is good by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of emphasis in the church systems to try to fill the church as full of people as you can get. Of course, we've had this place pretty full. And where are they? But anyway, the numbers and whatever, Jesus never seemed to be concerned about numbers. And in one situation, in the sixth chapter of John, he's talking about actually, I'm trying to think of what he was talking about.
He was talking about eating his body and drinking his blood.
Yes. And it got to the point that many of the people that were listening turned away and they walked no more with him, it says. He certainly could have said it in a different way. Mm-hmm. Couldn't he?
Yeah, this is just symbolic, understand, everybody.
But he didn't, he never did, and he spoke the truth whether people liked it or didn't like it or whether they received it or didn't receive it. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I thought, his objective really was not to see how many people he could get following him. But the church's objective, for the most part, and ours has been that way too. We got a lot of people in our church. We've got 300 people in this church. And it's like 300 what? Mm-hmm. 300 what? 300 God followers or 300 people? And it's like, it's good to have a lot of people. That's fine. But Jesus' emphasis was on eternal life. And this is just a proving ground and a temporary place for us. And his objective was in the next realm. Somehow that has become a real focal point for me. It's like I want eternal life. I don't want the feeling of this is good and this is what we want. This is not what we want. We want to be changing from glory to glory. We want to be turning into the image and the likeness of Christ. And it can't happen except through humility, brokenness, and things that God is beginning to build in this church.
Yes.
I saw something this last weekend, and I would have said it whether he's here or not, and he's not here. That Josh was at the the fellowship we had at the house. And a lot of you know him better than I do, and I didn't really know him, but as he was talking, I was realizing that he is really, really close to where most of us are. Mm-hmm. That's where his heart is. And we have to realize, you know, he's in a good place.
Lord, yes.
And it may take a few changes or whatever, but God will take care of that. And but you know one of the major things that really helps us is or helps people to develop is to be around some people that are beginning to get humble, broken, contrite. We need their testimonies, their experiences, and the things that they share. And I am really happy to see the testimonies that we're hearing from different ones. You know, it's like we're kind of in the same. You know, nobody has arrived, but we're kind of in the same dimension. And I'm glad for it.
Lord, yes.
We're also, looking at a scripture. I've been looking at a lot of them lately, but I was looking at this scripture in the fourth chapter of First John. And it says, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God." And it says, "Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So we know that we're talking about false prophets as well as the spirit of a false prophet. "Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." How important is that? That's vital. It's not just important, it's vital. And then it says, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." And that is a spirit of the Antichrist. Now, the thing about it, do you know of any spirits that don't confess that he came in the flesh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are they?
They're demonic spirits.
Pardon?
They're demonic spirits.
Yeah, but
any spirit.
But I mean something that we're familiar with.
The spirit of Trinitarianism, perhaps?
Yes. Yes.
And just everyone that doesn't agree with the New Testament, not just Trinitarians, but I talked to someone that's Rastafarian, that's supposed to be my friend, who is weird, because he was Native his whole life, but he's white, and then he decided to be Rastafarian like a year ago, and then I said something, because he posted that he's despite being Rastafarian, and he says, "Well, Jesus has really saved my life," and he went off on a tangent about how he hates all the white man, evil white Jesus in Babylon, and we're all bumbleclap. I don't know, but either way, there was no place in any of that with him or Jesus and the white devil. White Jesus, apparently. He thinks Jesus is white.
Well, I used to teach. I'm not embarrassed to say it, but I used to teach the Trinity. And in the Trinity, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. That's an impossibility. It's not even possible. And so that the Trinity actually opposes the scriptures that I just read. He couldn't be co-existent and come in the flesh unless God did too. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I'm glad that we have kind of seen the revelation of the humanity of Christ.
Amen.
It's a big one. Mm-hmm. It's not just a revelation, it's a big revelation. And I think that possibly one of the biggest revelations that we have ever had. Anyway.
I heard, I think, this week that there was some kind of minister that is prominent in, among Christians. He made the statement that it is our, it's not our job to critique our fellow believers. It's our job. We're called to love our fellow, you know, believers. That's you know. And I thought about that a little bit. And on the one hand, yes, that is totally true. That is totally true. We're called we're not called to be finding all the faults that are. We're called to love. But there's a little more to the story, you know?
Yes, there is.
Some of those fellow believers, I suppose you could call, or would be, false prophets. Are we supposed to not critique false prophets? Are we supposed to just love them instead of critiquing them? You know, on the one hand, the man is totally right. On the other hand, he is pretty seriously wrong.
Yeah, yes, he is.
You know? And I don't know how to sort out what's, you know, when you love, when you hate, you know. If you ask yourself what Jesus would do, the answer is he did a whole lot of critiquing. Jesus, oh my, that man critiqued. You know? Yeah, he loved. But you late eat shirt or treat. So anyway.
You know, whatever. Because you love someone, you wanna save them. And if they're believing and acting not the Bible, you have to critique them. You can't say, I love you so much, keep doing what you're doing, my friend. Love and criticism go hand in hand.
Like yes, it does.
Jesus said, I'm telling you, you are in the wrong path because I love you, not because I hate you. If I didn't care about you, I would say nothing. I would say, go on, believe in Easter Bunny. You know what I mean? But I love you. I want to tell you the truth. I want to help you know Jesus and be saved. That is love and criticism.
Very well together.
So, and I see that a lot over the time. Don't criticize me. What I do, because I have a personal experience, but because I love you, I want to tell you. At least I want to tell you, maybe I'm wrong too, but I want to tell you, hey, here's the Bible. What you believe is wrong. I had a guy last year. Problem. No, I believe that God is this and that and this and that. He started describing who God is. I told him, you believe that, that's fine. He said, it's not in the Bible. But then I asked you what you believe. So it's your point. You know, what you believe, the God that you believe in, is not the true God. That's your own God that you made up in your own mind. And as you know, I say as nicely as possible. I don't beat him up or whatever. With love, with genuine love, because I love you, I criticize you. And because I love you, I don't want you to believe like me or be like me or walk like me. I want to, because there's a lot of things I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be this word. Because I can't, don't follow my example, your anger, you're not going to make it. You know what I mean? Don't be a power, be a Bible man, be a Jesus person. You know?
You know, Paul said, what is it, sharing the truth in love, or whatever, you know, whatever, teaching, how's that go?
Bringing the truth in love.
Bringing the truth in love, yeah. Yeah. Bringing the truth. So.
What that person said is, he's saying what the church has been preaching forever. You're all okay.
Yeah.
You're all okay, so we should love one another. Well, that definitely does not line up with the scriptures.
No, that's true.
And Paul said it perfectly. If you love someone, you want to see him saved, well, then you're not going to just say, yeah, keep doing what you're doing, love you, go to hell. You know? I mean, it's kind of a strong way to talk. But, you know, it's, if you do care, yeah. And but I was thinking about when earlier we said, you know, when it said Jesus brought, didn't hold back and all that, and I was going to add, by the direction of the Father.
Yes.
That's you right. know? And that's a big difference in some regards, you know. But, yeah, that preaching that, see, he's saying, yeah, we're all okay. Just keep living your good life and love one another, you know. Well, that's not going to get you eternal life.
Now, there can be an ugly spirit in our finding fault with our brothers.
Yeah, there's a way to do it.
There is an ugly, nasty superior. There's very a heart of that just plain is unloved, and we're not called to that.
No,
we are not called to that.
Good point to make. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it in myself, so you know.
Yeah.
So in that sense, but still, I mean, you expressed it. You expressed it. Yeah. You are absolutely fine. Go to hell.
Especially these last days.
Yes.
There's all these things that we are to. And love and said, and it's acceptable, but so you sin, you have a sin. But what you need to know is that you have to repent of that sin. You can come to me with your sin, come to me. I will accept you, sit next to me, let's talk. Friend, your sin, you have to repent of your sin. But you know, I gotta repent of my sin too. But see, the issue is that some people don't know this is a sin. They think it's okay. It's not okay. You have to. So in love, you are sinning, and if you die with your sin, you won't have eternal life. And I sin, and my sin is no different than other person's sin. The difference is that I know I'm sinning. I know I'm wrong. The other person, they think it's okay, and they think it's acceptable. It's not acceptable. It's in the Bible. You have to realize that you're sinning, and somebody in love needs to say, this is not acceptable before God. And I'm not going to turn you away. I want to tell you the truth, what the Bible says. However, the Bible says, you know, all these people turn away. But I think what it's really trying to say, I mean, don't be like, don't become like that. Don't, because there's a scripture that says, bad company corrupts good habits or something like that. So you don't wanna be with them and accept it and become like them. You wanna be with them, that's when you turn them away. But you do wanna tell them what the truth is, and you know what? If they know what the truth is, they just, the Bible says that they have a goofy heart.
I think sometimes people take criticism as judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you have to be careful because people think you're judging me.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to judge me. You know, no, I mean, I'm saying there are people who are going to see a criticism as a judgment.
Yeah, that's right.
And
you know, a lot of people though, when you say something to them, the thing that you're addressing is probably something that manifests in them negatively often, and they don't want to
right.
acknowledge that, you know, because they glorified some sort of demonic manifestation in them that's a part of them or something like that.
Right.
You know, and instead of that weakness that they see and they're like, I want to rebuke that because that's demonic and the Bible says so, they glorify that and attach to that. So
how many, so take up the word exhort. What is that? And how many times is that used in the word? That's, you see someone that's maybe going wrong, you exhort them to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And you do need to be led by the Spirit, too.
Yeah, well, definitely. Yeah. That's kind of, it has to be a given.
Yeah.
You know, right? But it, I don't know how many times it says exhort one another, mm-hmm. which is saying keep one another on the right path. You
right.
know? You know?
By judgment, you know what? I judge. They think of us, they think of judgment. Yeah, it is judgment, but this judgment will help you. It will save your life. And there's a scripture in Proverbs that it says, I can't quote it exactly, but it says, a wise person accepts criticism, or a wise person accepts correction. Something like that. As a wise person, receive also the judgment. You know, judge me. I'll accept it. Show me in the scriptures what am I doing that needs to improve. Or in the scriptures, now it's on your own. Because Jesus says that the devil speaks out of his own resources. If it's out of your own resources, I don't care. But if it's out of God's word, I will take judgment all day long, every day, all the time. In fact, I will welcome it. All day from the scriptures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like how you said, like you critique someone and they take that as judgment, maybe offended. It's not, are the people offended? Or are the demons that have manifested them that are the issue making them uncomfortable because they might possibly get found out and then rebuked? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, I agree. That's been me.
I mean, that's a safeguard. Wait, you're judging me.
Yeah, human nature.
We tend to judge, though, too harshly, and sometimes like we have to check our own judgment or how we give it or making sure that it's in
the right position, place.
Grandpa and I were talking this morning because he's quoted so many times now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But that is, in the scripture setting, only a portion of a sentence. It's not the whole sentence, so it's not even the whole thought. It's a fragment. And if you read the whole thing, it says, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, it says in the King James. In the New King James, it says casting down arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So until your obedience is fulfilled, but at that point, like the speck in the log, you know,
mm-hmm.
and when we start finding God within ourselves in that love, in that place, and when our judgment goes not from, you better not do that, like, oh, look what she's doing, to, ooh, they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That changes our heart's position, which then makes me, it reminds me of in Matthew 15, where Jesus is talking about how in Isaiah they prophesied saying, these people draw near to me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Which is very much where we get kind of caught up in those things, but those things are allowed.
Mm-hmm. Like the Matthew 7 Christians who are doing all the things with their mouth.
Well, it says don't get caught up on fables and genealogies and questions and all of these things, which just give you more reason to think and, you know, all of these things, we couldn't handle what was required of us. Initially, as a race, we suck. I mean, being, you know, humans were cursed. It's a curse. And we couldn't So when we try and convince ourselves of that or teach that, or, ooh, I know this thing now, and then that's, I'm going to teach everyone that thing, that's given to confound the lies, you know, because I want to understand this by my way and get it and teach this and I get it and I got it. And having itching ears are trying to have teachers rather than spending that time doing what we're called to do and loving and understanding and being there in their affliction.
It's a funny thing that Jesus says. I think it's funny. Is Jesus says, I'm not here to judge you, he says. My word that I've been paid judge. But when we judge, we need to judge by the word.
Right.
You know, not by, this is what I'm doing, do like me. Never. You know what I mean? Because in fact, Jesus says, no, well, the first is, do what they say. Do what they say. Because they're speaking out of the word, don't do what they do. You know what I mean? So don't judge our like, you know, you should all be pilots. No. Because it's a good job. No, you do whatever. The word is what you have to go by, not by your own resources, like Jesus speaks of the devil. Don't feel your own resources. You know the scripture you read from Isaiah? Jesus, I had it in my sleeve there for later. That's funny.
I got it from
well, that verse that you read where it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it says, but mighty through God. That gives us a little bit of the power and the strength of the scripture. To the pulling down of strongholds. And I've had some funny things happen this last week. And one of them is that, you know, when people get filled with the Holy Spirit and or they speak in tongues. Sometimes we say they're the same thing, but I don't know that they have to be. Because the Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. That's in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, or the first couple of verses. And it's like, a tongue is a spirit language. It's not something, and it's something that God ordained and set up, and it's not anything that we can do or not do. Well, we cannot do it, but I mean, it's not something that we can manufacture. And my conclusion is that God gave everybody that has a spirit a language of the spirit. Now, I've done a lot of thinking about this, so I could take you by surprise, but basically, it's about everybody that speaks that received the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues. Anyway, I have learned over the years to pray in tongues. And because of this war in Ukraine, I started to, we're supposed to pray about stuff like that. I looked at that thing and I started to pray about it in tongues. And I could just feel the presence of God all over me. See, Elijah was a man of like passions. He's like we are. And he prayed for 3.5 years that it wouldn't rain in Israel. And it did rain. And somehow the Israelites knew that it was his fault. Yeah, because he didn't pray, it was his fault. Or because he prayed, it was his fault. And it's like, you mean that he's the one that convinced God to do it? He prayed what God wanted him to pray. So you speak in tongues, and you pray in tongues, and you're going to pray what God wants you to pray, And then when you get all done, you can say, nevertheless, it not my will. God knows what my will is in these things. He knows what your will is. But he's still going to do it his way. And we got to be happy with it, whatever it is.
That's right.
It's a superpower.
Pardon?
Mm-hmm.
A superpower.
Yep.
Yeah.
Supernatural, anyway.
Yeah. And so it says casting down imaginations, images, things that, you know, we got this image of what, here's God, this is what he's like. No, he's not like that. God is not a man that he should lie, the Bible says. Jesus was not God. Because God is not a man, that's what it says. And, but a lot of people have learned over the years, going all the way back to the Council of Nicaea and in the, who was the emperor?
Constantine.
And he thought the idea that the Trinity was a lot better than the oneness. And it was kind of his fault that it got, you know, it really got going. But up to the first couple hundred years, there wasn't such a thing as a Trinity. Nobody had it. So we got a funny thing today. Most of the churches are Trinitarians. When I was down in Kentucky for a while, and there was one whole street just called the Trinity or Trinity. Based on what? But anyway.
You know what? I keep reading this. And for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That's not even, like, to me, when I read that, that's not even, like, the important part. That's just an indicator. And the casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And what, to me, seems important is bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When I read that, that's the key. Now, are we bringing every thought into captivity? Do you bring every thought into captivity? Everything that you hear on the radio, see on the news, every negative thing, do you bring that in captivity, or do you revel on it and give in? Which one? Because this is not important at all if we're not bringing every thought and image into captivity. If we're not doing that, if we don't see negativity in the world and know that's of the devil and don't manifest it, if we don't do that, then that is means nothing. Like, what's the stop sign mean if you just blow through it?
That's right.
It's a suggestion.
Well, suggestion for your own goodness, yeah. Which is also what this verse is. You can blow right through it, but you're going to get T-boned.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, send a whale, send to something.
That's something that I really have been working on trying to do. Bring every thought in the captivity, and that's really hard to do. That's really hard to do. Even now, I'll just sit here thinking about the Lord, and then just really violent, rage-filled things just flood my head to the point to where my adrenaline is just like skyrockets. Just sitting here. What do you do with that? You put that in captivity and bring it to Christ, because those thoughts are not mine. I'm not here, sitting here with you guys talking about the Lord, and these murder thoughts, they're not my own. They're not my own.
The Jesus says, the light or the lamp of your body is the eye. I mean, it's kind of first, we are to understand it, because it's like, so we are shining light. But actually what it is that the light of your body, as in what's in your body, is your eye. Okay? So if you want to know what's inside you, you have to look what's around you, basically. Whatever your eye is looking at, or your ear is hearing, is what's inside you. So if your eye is good, then your body, then your inside is good, says Jesus. So, in order to bring a help, to bring every thought into captivity, is keep your eye good. Jesus says, he said, so keep your eye good. So keep your eye in the things of the Lord. I'm going to add something on the things of the Lord only, you know. And then your body will be good. So, I hope that helps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just continue to keep bringing that into captivity and giving it to Christ and knowing that that's not my own thoughts and that those negative things aren't from God and that I should not continue to think on them because that manifests them. And you're not going to bring down a stronghold through God if you're manifesting demonic things. Mm-hmm. I can sit here all day and just continue to think about it or get worked up about it. Mm-hmm. You know, someone recently did something to me and it's really bad and it makes me mad. Am I going to overcome that by continuing to manifest those negative thoughts? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bring down that stronghold. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bring down that stronghold doing that.
I'm very similar. Little things, just getting there, and then all I'm thinking about it all day long. I'm going to have to catch myself. You know what I mean? Even visiting, I got the scriptures playing on the field. So it's not easy. The devil, he just gets there, and you don't even know he's there. I mean, you're not thinking about the devil. So he gets there, you don't know how he got there, he just gets there.
Yeah, it's impossible to stop him from coming, but it's our job to resist him when he shows up.
The thing we need to be aware that he shows up. He's a deceiver, which means that you don't know that you're being lied to. You don't know that he's there. That's deception.
I hear people say all the time, "I'm anxious," or "I'm anxious about this, I get anxious about that." And it says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, because it's not going to make sense anyway, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then it talks about the finding if anything are true, whether things are noble or just or pure or lovely or of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, amen.
How often is that done?
Rarely. These things that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
Yeah. The other day, I was dealing with all kinds of not fun pain in my face, and I was driving, and it was funny. And he was like, it really hurts, doesn't it, Mom? And I was like, yeah, it does. And he turned, he's like, well, God's allowing it for some reason. And I thought, you know what? You're right. In whatever that is, you're right. And this too I can handle. Like, I can handle this. And it is okay. You know, like, and that is such a wonderful thought. And I have listened to this guy a million times talk on YouTube, and he talks about how to find, like, gratitude in situations where he lost his sister to cancer. You know, that's really sad. And he said, well, find the joy in that. So because I lost my sister to cancer, I developed this glorious relationship with my niece that, you know, brought her out of that place. Now I have a relationship with my niece, so I'm sad about my sister. But I retrained my brain to think about it because, you know, I found this glorious piece of it. And in whatever that is, you can sit and revel on the one part or look for anything that's of good report in any way at all. So I'm trying very hard to say, okay, this isn't my thought. I don't want it, that doesn't align with what I want or my joy. So I don't have to think that. Repeat it.
No, what did you say, something?
Well, the thought occurred to me a while back that, this is a spirit-filled church, and we are spirit-filled Christians. You know, spirit-filled, that's what. And speak in tongues, we're spirit-filled. And I thought of that. Hey, if we are really filled with the Holy Spirit, my gosh, we'd be acting a little different. Filled with the Holy Spirit? There wouldn't be room for, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit. Gee whiz.
There's a lot of
spirit. You know, that could come tripping off our tongue. Yeah, we're spirit-filled Christians. Filled with the Holy Spirit. My. But anyway, I would really like to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yesterday I had an experience.
In other words, emphasizing filled.
Filled, right. You know, when you're filled, there isn't any room for other stuff, you know.
I had an experience yesterday. My grandson and my daughter, they came to visit, and they came in the house. Well, she came in the house fully manifesting anger, and my grandson refused to get out of the car, sitting in the car, fully manifesting multiple demonic things. I took a time to pray about it, and then I went out to him, and I just started praying, and I said, Newman, are you going to come in? No, I can't. I got to get out of here. He wanted to run away, and I wouldn't let him. I don't know why, because it's not me. I mean, he's much taller, twice my size. And here I am, frail and everything else, you know. What am I doing? But I just kept praying and loving him. I just loved him. I did not judge him. He had been judged all the way from Red Wing to our house, and he could not overcome the demonic forces. He is prone to having seizures. So he has things in his brain that really cause a lot of problems and stuff. Very low self-esteem, very, you know, everything. And I prayed with him, and I said, I don't care, man. I love you. Jesus loves you. I don't care, you know. I don't take excuses. You don't need to do this. You just need to let me love you. That's all I want to do is love you. Come on in the house and let me love you. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it took. But he finally broke. He got out of the car and he hugged me so hard. I thought I'm all my bones break. But we had a small victory, and it was Jesus, and it was deliverance, I really believe, because his eyes, you could see the total difference in his eyes when he made the decision to accept that love. And I think that's what we need to do in the Spirit, is love these people and pray for their deliverance. And if they get delivered, wonderful, because it's up to Jesus. It's not up to us. And I pray that this keeps on with him. He needs a lot of deliverances. But I'm just going to keep praying and loving him. I'm not going to judge him. He does not need any more judgment. He just needs the love. Okay. And I think that's what we've been talking about here today.
And so, yeah.
It's how to love through Jesus, not our love. Mm-hmm. And it's a big lesson to learn, and I've had to learn it many, many times over and over and over, because it's difficult to love people when they're manifesting, especially towards you. It's hard. Mm-hmm. But in Jesus, we can do it.
You know, it is such a glorious thing that we are given, that you could have someone who is so angry and full of hate and all of those things to begin with, you know?
Yes.
And you approach them for a while. It might take kind of a while. But... And then they end up having that feeling of, you know, loving, squeezing you so tight, it's about to break your bones.
Mm-hmm.
What a glorious thing that we have available to us in the right circumstances with the Holy Spirit operating, of course. But, oh, my, what a wonder. You know, that people in the world don't have that. That's not something that's available to...
He said to me, nobody
can
do this to me but you, Grandma. You're the only one who's ever been able to do this for me.
Yeah. The cast of all fear is one of my favorite scripture settings. And 1 John 4:19 has been my favorite verse since I was in first grade, basically. And I never really fully understood it until lately. And so Grandpa, again, read earlier of he read the first part of 1 John 4 with the every spirit that comes, okay, so every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. But if you keep reading from there, after 4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his Son, or his only begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another, just like he did for him in that situation when he didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it by his actions, but he needed it. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, believed in the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have a boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. In another version, it says punishment. And that's the thing that we're trying to protect ourselves from. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And if someone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother who he's seen, how can he love God who he hasn't seen? And that there, when you love him in that moment, that's that same love we get from God. And once we can feel that, it's so much easier to give it. And when he feels that perfected, it's okay, I don't deserve this, but you love me anyway kind of love, that casts out those things, that all those imaginations. And love is the powerful tool that can get rid of those things, not fleshly things, but pulling down of those strongholds and those imaginations and manipulations in our brain that we all have to fight or flight from. And that changes everything.
Yes. Thank you.
That word love was...
Love.
I was trying to come out.
That
whole setting.
I was
like, wow.
Perfect love. Perfect love, Cass. And that's the... you need this. Just let me love you. Let me love you anyway.
That's what we gotta give.
Mm-hmm.
We have to give and give and give to all of those who can't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't accept it until the stronghold was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, when that was broken, he felt it.
Right. Dear Lord.
When our judgment changes from to and you get, you're going through something, you don't know what's going on.
I love you.
Right. Because
he was so used to being judged by the time he got there that that's all he felt was judgment.
Sure.
But God had victory.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
I manifested some demonic stuff pretty bad, and God did not have victory at all. The devil had victory big time the other day. And, like, I don't know, that's been on my mind a lot lately, because I've been, the spirit of anger has really been up trying to just get at me while I'm awake, while I'm asleep, all the time, especially with things lately. I don't know, I'm a really passionate person, and I'm a hard to death loyal to people, and if I love you, I love you for real. And unfortunately, when you're like that, you tend to be really protective over the people that you love, and I'm especially protective of my wife. So I don't know if the devil has used that to get at me lately, and the other day it was really bad. I don't know, a couple weeks ago I flew off the handle and I didn't even try to resist whatsoever. There was no resisting. There was no resisting. You know why? Because of what I was mad about. What set me off was people coming against my wife, and I love my wife, and I protect my wife, and I want to do the best things for her. But you know what? I flew off the handle because of things that people were saying and their own bad actions. There's nothing that they can do to her that God isn't going to allow. So at the end of the day, a bunch of crappy people saying crappy things isn't affecting our lives. But to me, with Brittany flying off the handle, losing my mind, guess what? That's negatively affecting her. So now, really, I've just kind of been trying to do a lot of reflection on myself and think about how I can better be prepared for things like that. Because I'm pretty good at resisting demonic things that I want to resist. You know, like, I don't want to do drugs, so I resist the demonic thought when it pops into my head to do a drug, you know, or to do any of this. But in those instances, I'm protecting my wife. So what restraint is there, you know?
So I mean,
we'll pray before we...
I love the scripture where Jesus, well, God, whatever, said, "Judgment is mine, saith the Lord." It's judgment is, it's God. It's up to God. You know, it's not our doing. I mean, I understand, but if we can just have as a guiding principle. God, judgment is mine, saith the Lord. Let him make the call and do whatever gets through.
When we accept in anger things that people are doing, we're accepting that. When we get angry, where we need to give it to the Lord and say, "Lord, it's them.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with them.
Yeah.
I love you, and I do not accept it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it really helped when the thing going on was not anything realistic in somebody's interpretation, so it didn't bother me, and I think that kind of realized that he was upset that somebody hurt me or said something about me, it didn't bother me because it really just made them look dumb, you know, like if they were over there saying that I'm a llama,
so
I'm not a llama, so say I'm a llama all day long. Good to know.
I'm not.
Right. Like, good to know. Thank you. Not having to put on every coat that somebody calls you has been a glorious victory for me. And that was my thing with the anxiety or anxious. People say all the time, "Well, I'm anxious," or "I whatever." My anxiety, I don't claim it. Let it go.
It's not mine.
No, right? Because if it's a spirit and it's demonic and it's torturing me, I'm not going to hold on to that anchor, because that anchor is going to pull me down. And I can, you know, keep walking that anchored right down at the bottom of the ocean, or I could just say, that's not mine.
Seriously, as soon as you claim that, you're giving those demons permission.
Right, to torture you, and that's those strongholds. And really, it might not even be them holding you strong, it's you holding them strong.
So you just have to give it back to them and let God deal with it.
Right.
You know, the best thing to do when somebody says something or in an argument, and God did that for me because I used to, you know, somebody says something, I would say something back. Mm-hmm. Or even like road rage, I would get so angry, especially at road rage. Mm-hmm. And I don't have it anymore. People can do whatever they want.
Praise the
Lord. And God got it 100%. But now think about Jesus. He's in the... See, if you want to, when somebody, and I learned this through the Spirit, I believe, when somebody is criticizing you and saying all these lies, even if they're true, if none of it, saying all these things about you, whatever, if you, so now there's a battle, it's a confrontation, there's this and this, and they go like this. What you do is say nothing, mm-hmm. nothing, mm-hmm. nothing at all, say zero. Oh, well, they're going to win. No. You win because sometimes they want to fight, and then you're not giving them a chance to fight. And it's like a dog running after you, and then you do not. You sit there, and the dog gets there, and like, goes away. Same deal. Say nothing. That is exactly what Jesus said at the cross, before he was crucified. He's being accused of this and this and this. And what did Jesus say in his defense? Nothing. He didn't even open his mouth. Because it's not even worth the argument. Jesus says, I want to get crucified no matter what. I can speak all day, say whatever you want. I want to get crucified. So there's no reason to argue. Zero.
What he did say, and what I was just going to say before you even said that, was when he said to him, are you going to defend yourself? Don't you know that I have the power and authority to let you go or crucify you? He said, the only thing he said is, you have no power or authority unless it's given to you from my Father above. And that is 100% what runs in my head in all of the things is, this isn't going to kill me. If it does, that's his plan. This person isn't going to, that's not going to hurt me. If something does, that's his plan. If I'm in the lion's den, that's his plan. If the lion eats me, he eats me. If he doesn't, he doesn't. That's his plan. This is also his plan. It's good. Whatever, and there's a joy in that. There's like a little bit of a freedom in whatever I'm facing right now. This is it. This is his plan for me. This is perfect for me. It might not seem perfect, but it is. Whatever that is, either for refinery or for learning.
I was speaking with Candy about some the other day, a couple days ago. And a lot of times we hear, I hear from people differently, you know, well, I guess I'll pray. I mean, all I can do is pray. And that is the wrong approach because, well, I tried everything, so now I'll pray. You know what I mean? And actually, the you know when you have an issue with a Walmart, let's say, or anywhere, well, could I speak with the manager, or could I speak with your boss, or could I speak with, if you get higher in the rank of who's important, you have a better chance. Oh, well, now I'm going to speak with the manager, so I really have a favor now to speak with the manager. That's what we've got. We get to talk and speak with the one that created heaven on earth by speaking it. He didn't even need dirt to make an earth. He didn't need nothing. He just needed his word. He said, let there be, and there was. We get to talk to the top of the top of the top of the top, highest, highest, highest. We get to talk to him. So when we get to talk to him, I say, well, you know what? I talked to all these little people already, and they're going to do nothing for me. So now I come to you, big person, big son. No, we go to God first. So, well, I guess all I have to do is pray. I get to pray. You get to. It's a privilege. It's a you get to. Think of it. Every time you have an issue, just go to the president of the company. And it's like that. You get to pray. You know, I like your friend. I'll get
a thing. Yes. But it's so true what you said, because you're going,
okay, I'm going to try this, this, and this, and nothing working. And then you're like, okay, fine, I'll just pray.
Yeah, I get about that there. But that's why the Bible says, Jesus says, unless you become, unless you become like a little child, so that's not unless, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And see, you enter the kingdom of heaven, now you're in this place, so you're with God all the time. And with a, when a kid has an issue, any kid, when they have a problem, they first run to the mother or to the father. They don't go to the neighbors or to the relatives. They run first to their mother or father, and father only. They don't try all these other goofy things. First, they go to God and to God only. And that's why, unless you become a little child, and I could have told my kids when they were little anything, and they would have believed, no matter what I said, they would have believed it. That's what we need to do with God. He says it, it's true, leave it alone. Believe it, it's true. The word of God is true. You know, but we get to pray. I went super quick, I want to share a thing that I touched on last week about the word of God being an offer. Jesus says, you made the word of God of no effect by your traditions. He's saying, because there's a lot of promises in the word of God, you know, believe in Jesus and you will have eternal life. You know, chapter 16, that's a big word. There's all these promises, but all these promises will be of no, that you can't partake of those promises by your traditions. And he says, teaching in vain the commandments of man instead of the commandments of God. Right. So what it is the teaching. The wrong teaching will make this word disappear. All of a sudden, you can even open the Bible and make it work for you. All these things that God has promised you, all these promises that God has, and we try to claim them, well, we can't claim them because we have all these other things that we believe in that are not true. We are taking a teaching from man and running with it, and it's not from God. That is why we let's say pray and don't receive. We do pray and we do receive because God has mercy. Can you imagine if you didn't have mercy? But because God is merciful in our mistakes, He answers our prayers. He does. I don't deserve any prayer to be answered, to tell the truth. But I said, by your teaching the commandments of man. And then you were reading yourself.
It actually, what I read was the scripture setting that you were looking for. It's Matthew 15.
Yeah.
So that's where I read the Isaiah was just quoted in there. It's Matthew 15.
Okay,
where
is it reading?
Starting where?
Just quoting Isaiah.
Where he said, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
Okay. Not even worship. You can't even worship God in truth if you have this goofy teaching. Any teaching that is wrong, your worship is in vain. You want to worship God? You know what? Keep your hands down and go somewhere else or something else because it's in vain. It won't work. Because this bad teaching. Okay. And not only the bad teaching coming, but we can. The devil teaches, he's a teacher also, but he thinks he is. The devil can teach you things, and you can believe the wrong stuff. So worship is in vain. It won't exist through bad teaching, through wrong traditions. And the word of God itself is void, is worthless with bad traditions. It makes it of no effect. Jesus is not exaggerating, he doesn't do that. He's serious. He said, you made the word of God of no effect by your traditions. You know? And so it's important that stay away from anything that is not the word of God. Just keep the word of God on the word of God only. And then you can claim that everything. Then it's true. Then when God said this or whatever, we can claim it.
Otherwise, and it says, and you honor me with your lips. And what else?
Your heart is far from me.
Right.
Honor me with their lips. They worship me. Yeah.
For with how often?
Draw near to me with their mouths.
Yes. How often? Oh, Lord, 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 God, a wonderful God, whatever. But I never opened a Bible. You know what I mean? Never want to hear from you. Because it says, men love darkness more than truth. So we, mankind, is more happy and comfortable listening to a lie than to the truth. And that goes for the spiritual and for the carnal. And anyways, it's so, so important that the teaching that we receive is from the Holy Spirit and not from man. Otherwise, again, like I said, point out correctly, the word of God is void, and our worship is void. So, and you guys know this. I'm just repeating things that we've known forever. You know, let's just, we need to be teachers of the Holy Spirit and put everything regarding the things of God. You know, not from man, no matter how good our intentions are. You know.
Amen.
And we're seeking the truth. And in 1 John 2, 20, it says, no lie comes from the truth. So if you have the truth, you don't have a lie.
I love you all.